as always, to Brian Bulaga.
Jesse is working feverishly to re-rack the citrus dependence conversation to see how we got there, because that was enjoyable.
Tausch, one thing to put a bow on the kicker situation and then to get back on the clock. When you look at how this has played out, and, you know, if you're old enough to remember, the Packers once drafted a kicker in the third round after winning the Super Bowl, Brett Conway out of Penn State, and he flamed out, and fortunately the Packers had a backup plan, and he ended up going into the Packers Hall of Fame alongside Old T, and that was Ryan Longwell, who had been cut by the San Francisco 49ers and claimed on waivers to be basically a training camp leg. They wanted Brett Conway to win the job because they drafted him in the third round. How hard is it, or how important is it? Because I think Goody has no problem doing this, to put aside, hey, we drafted this guy, and say, this guy's not the guy that gives us the best chance to win. You always talk about first-round picks have to continually prove they don't belong, whereas a guy like you had to continually prove that you did. Does the drafting of a specialist fit into that same box, or not necessarily?
Well, I think these guys always want to be right. The general managers that pick guys, they want their guys to, because it makes them look good, and, you know, they trust their process to get as many good football players in the building. So that upsets that when it happens, but the good ones, and Ron Wolf was one, and I believe Brian Gutekunst is as well, you have to be willing to admit, I'm not going to hit 1,000. If I'm hitting 400, I'm doing great. And not every pick is going to pan out like last year's draft. Now, the same thing can be said for Anders. It's a position where I think you want to be right. You like his leg strength. There's a lot of things to like about him. But if it's not right, Goody has shown, if there's one thing, and you could say this is a negative, Goody is not all about the emotions of things.
Mm-hmm.
I think he tries to be as, you know, take the emotion out of it and answer the question, will this help our football team win games? No, I don't think he's a jerk about it. I think he tries to, I don't think he's Billy Bean, where he's not going to go and have any conversations with guys, because there's been, David Bakhtiari joined us. He says really nice things about someone that just cut him. And because the line of communication, and that's, I think, something Goody has gotten better and better at. But I don't think there's any question. If Anders Carlson struggles and is not the guy, they'll move on. This isn't, well, we like him and this. No, you ain't getting it done. You got to go. That's just, unfortunately, that's the tough part of this business.
All right, I want to shift gears to something that a corollary question to something you guys asked while I was gone. We'll get to that coming up, but it might have a little bit to do with Anders Carlson as well. We'll transition to that coming up. Plus, we've got Uncle Homer scheduled to appear later in the hour. Tausch, time to tell us about AmFam and all the great things that we've gotten going on with that partnership.
Well, folks, it's that time of year again. Nobody, and I mean nobody, tailgates like Brewers fans. What if I told you that American Family Insurance can help you take that tailgating experience to the next level? Enter the Superfan Tailgate Sweepstakes for an all-expenses-paid day at American Family Field. And this part is so sweet. Your own personal chef for you and five friends.
Wow.
You'll get field-level tickets, gift cards to some of your favorite spots at the stadium, and much more. Go to amfam.com/brewer to enter today. Again, you get tickets, you get gift cards, and you get a blanking chef out in the parking lot cooking up a meal for you. How sweet is that? No purchases necessary. Dream fearlessly. Insure carefully.
If you look at what Anders Carlson did last year, he wasn't good enough. Who is the player beyond Jordan Love that the Packers cannot afford to have stink next season? It's a little bit of a twist on a question that Tausch and Jesse asked while I was gone. I'm curious how you'll answer, and I'll ask it next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
This ain't a good time, but when is it ever? I know the perfect.
can hurt me tomorrow.
So I always know when something has gotten Tausch's attention because he tweets. Because you're not a serial tweeter. There's a lot of people that love to be on the Twitter, or X, I guess. I keep calling it Twitter. Does anyone actually call it X?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so. No.
But you asked a question almost a week ago now. Besides J-Love, who do you believe needs to be the most impactful Packer in 2024? And I thought it was a great question. Yeah.
Great question.
So I'm going to put a twist on it now because that was, you know, we're not going to redo all the shows that I missed because, well, nobody wants that.
What's your answer?
Okay.
I think it's Rashawn Gary. I think they need him to be the field-tilting player that he has been previously before his injury. The elite pass rusher from what we discussed once upon a time. On the flip side of this question, though, is, who is the guy other than Jordan Love that they can't afford to have play poorly?
Mm.
And, you know, I think there are guys that I don't anticipate playing poorly, so I'm not even kind of a concern. Like, Xavier McKinney, yeah, they're in trouble if he's bad, but I don't think in any way that he's going to be bad, right? So he's not kind of who I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of players that you're not quite sure about and whether... For example, and I think he improved a lot last season.
I know who you're going to say.
Who am I going to say? Are we back to finishing sentences?
No, I'm not finishing your sentences. I think you're going to say Rashid Walker.
I was going to say Rashid Walker. Oh, it's like I haven't even been going. Now, I is it fair to judge a first-round draft pick based on three OTA practices and a couple of minicamp practices? Of course not. They're not in pads. I have no idea how good Jordan Morgan is going to be. But it's not like he walked in there like he was Joe Thomas and was with the ones from the moment he walked in. So he is not Joe Thomas, even though they both have short arms. But I don't know if he's going to win that starting job. But I don't have any indications that they're handing it to him, that's for sure. And whoever plays there, whether it's the first-round pick or it's Rashid Walker, I don't think they can afford to have their left tackle not play well. So that was my answer, and you were correct. Are you with me on that, or do you have someone else in mind?
Well, I mean, I think if Rashid Walker didn't play well, then you put Jordan Morgan over there. So, I mean, it comes down to war. Is that how you say it? Wins against
what is it good for?
I don't know if that is absolutely nothing. If that's what we're talking about, you could make that claim. But I think I'm going to go. And again, you can't really preface it with "I don't think this is going to happen" and all this. You're going to ask the question.
Can.
Yeah, but it's lame. I think Jair Alexander.
Thanks. It's great to be back.
I'm still. Curious. He's saying all the right things. We played a bunch of Terrell Buckley audio from Homer's show that I thought was great. That's his guy. So he's going to say those things. So Jair has been there. He was at camp. He missed the mandatory minicamp. That was excused, which was smart by the Packers. He was there all offseason.
Mm-hmm.
If he can revert back to who he was pre-injury. And I thought the real interesting part of that T-Buck conversation was the acknowledgement that that injury, which we all saw, anyone that pays attention,
Najee Harris,
really affected Jair. Hopefully he's past that mental hurdle and he's back to being the dog that he was. Because if he is, I think this Halfley defense has a chance to be really good. If he's not, and he's still lukewarm, I think is the nicest way I can put it about putting his nose in there and making tackles. I don't think this defense can be that much better. And if it's not, they're not going to go any further than they did last year. So Jair Alexander, to answer your question, would be my answer.
Jesse, since you're transitioning back to the producer's role instead of running the show, do you have someone in mind?
You look relieved. Jesse looks like he's on vacation.
This has been nice being back here.
Wasn't that so? All right,
we'll get your answer later. Was it that hard? Was it that taxing? Was it that onerous to be in my seat?
There's definitely more pressure on you to be interesting and insightful.
Oh,
and
hey,
informed.
I'm gonna be on the radio. I have to be interesting. Hey, Anders.
Accurate.
Yeah, we expect you to make some extra points, Anders.
Anders Nelson.
Back here, I get to just kind of chill and be like, nah, I don't have anything on this. I'm going to go play with some buttons.
Well, I'm sorry that we put you in that position, but I know you were happy to do it, and I appreciate you giving me that opportunity.
Oh, thank you.
So you don't have an answer? Is that what you're saying?
No, coincidentally, so I said Christian Watson might be near the top of my list last week with the question that we asked. But I could also make the argument that he's near the top of the list for this question, because I think the offense looks totally different when he's healthy and part of the four different receivers that can help propel things forward and create for, you know, somebody to be open with all the options that are available. When he's not out there, we've proven, Matt LaFleur and the Packers have proven, that last year they were able to get it done without him. And so, like, it works. But it looks different and it works better when he's available. So he might be, strangely enough, in my answer for both questions, who, you know, last week what we asked about who could have the biggest impact, but also who could they not afford to have on the field this year? He could be the difference between being a Super Bowl team and not.
It's a good answer. I'm glad you're back in your comfort zone. We will ask this question and get back to it. We'll ask Homer the question as well coming up. I want to remind you that the 4th of July is right around the corner, and you can stop into Fleet Farm to get everything you need for your 4th of July celebration. You can shop deals on grills and accessories, patio furniture, camping gear, and so much more. Make this year's 4th of July one of the best yet with everything you need at Fleet Farm. You can also shop the guaranteed best prices at Fleet Farm. They've got the lowest prices on all your favorites this summer. And you'll find a lower price if you do somewhere else. They will match it, so you always save at Fleet Farm. Find deals on everything you need for your everyday life at Fleet Farm. Steve the Homer Truth scheduled to appear next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
We'll hopefully talk to Homer coming up. Some news from the category of, I didn't know I needed to know this, but you do need to know this. Adam Schefter just shared this on social media. You know, we love Tommy DeVito's agent on this show. Love Tommy DeVito's agent. Sean Stellato is his name. There he is, if you're watching on the video stream. He apparently met today with the Pope, and he gifted the Pope a custom football with the Pope's coat of arms emblem.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, we did have some fun at Tommy DeVito's agent's expense with his...
Tommy DeVito beat, for all of us raving about those last nine games, Tommy DeVito beat Jordan Love last year.
It's true. That is what happened.
Head matchup.
That's a great point. Something that gets forgotten often. One person who doesn't get forgotten very often is this guy. I wonder if he's ever met the Pope. You hear him every weekday on the Homer Hour. The best 60 minutes of your life each day. Sometimes with Brian Bulaga, sometimes with John Anderson, Gary Ellerson, Tony Smith. I join him once or twice a week as well. You also hear him as the voice of the Marquette Men's Basketball Radio Network and on God Talk with Homer and Pip. It is Steve the Homer. True Homer, have you ever met the Pope?
Not personally. You'd have to check the year. I think it might have been in 1980. The Pope came to Chicago, and I went downtown, wherever the Pope was, to see him, and I faintly remember a glimpse of the Pope atop or slightly above his car, however it is.
Oh, the Pope-mobile!
Pope-mobile. I thought, nah, not doing this again. So, just to be within the presence of, I would say it was probably a quarter mile away, third of a mile away. I've not searched for the Pope since.
His Holiness. Were you working out? You sound out of breath. Everything okay?
Oh yeah, no, I am. I'm out of breath. I ran downstairs because I'm doing my faith at 11, and I had to get the information. So hold on. I shouldn't be out of breath as much, but I recognize that? I am. So
who you got on? That? Yeah, what was that noise?
I don't know. Pip sets most of these up, and so we had to do it today because tomorrow is the world famous Team Challenge golf outing. The only golf outing that won has had a scramble score of 102, which I believe is the highest ever.
Woof.
And the how would you like to play behind them? And then the other thing was the first year I was through 16 holes and they came out and said, you're done. So what do you mean you're done? Yeah, the minister's here. He's speaking in 15 minutes. Let's go off the course. I go, really? Wow. So I have instituted rules so that that doesn't happen. We have the Jesus is 100, because, of course, Jesus is 100 for everything. But if you're on the tee and you do not see a team on the green, you get to do the Jesus 100 and go to 100 yards away and play your shot from there.
Oh, that's fun.
People
wow.
don't have to wait.
Why 100, yeah, though? Why not 33 yards away?
Could, but the many people use the phrase Jesus is 100, so it seemed 100 yards would fit that.
Okay.
But yes, there.
Okay.
If Tausch wants to change that, we could call it the Tausch 50 or the whatever you want to add. Because
yeah,
in golf outings,
I had never heard of that. I've seen
golfers,
people where you
they
could
let you do anything.
That's true. Yeah, you buy mulligans, and you as long as you're committing
to
the cause, you typically can.
In this, I'm glad you brought it up. I'm trying to eliminate mulligans. Mulligans is just, for people who don't know, where it's for cheating. So but people pay extra money for them. What needs to be done is eliminate mulligans. If you pay the extra money, you get to hit from the shortest tee box for every par three, except the one that you're trying to win a car. And that would make it easier paying the money, but you still got to hit the damn shot. And the play would be faster.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know why. I mean, I understand why you do it, because you're trying to raise money, but it lengthens the day. And, yeah, you're not really shooting 18 under par. I still think you should cut golf outings to 9 holes, still have the same amount of people, charge the same, cut the day in half, have a little dinner procession afterwards. And I think most people would be pretty content with that, but that's a story for another day.
No, it's not for another day. It's going to happen. It just hasn't happened yet.
I'm on board.
It's going to happen, guaranteed. Yeah, you're on target, and then a few of them will do it, and then once a few of them do it, then other people go, hey.
Like, man, that's awesome. We're
like
out there for 3 hours.
It's like live auctions are dying because somebody just decided, go, we're not giving you anything. We just need money. So will anybody donate 10 grand? And so if people give money and get nothing, then why do you even have auction items? And it has eliminated the size or the number of, because people are still generous, even though they get nothing. And the people that are most generous have most of the prizes won in past auctions. So,
Homer, what's the best prize you've seen given away or potentially auctioned off at one of the, because we give you a lot of grief. You are a good dude that does a lot of these outings and auctions. What's the best thing that you've ever seen up for auction at one of these charity events?
I think Masters tickets or a Masters event, but I think that's special. But trips, things involving Europe go pretty well. The biggest ever by far was, when I start an auction, I tell, okay, I'm busy. So if you buy all the auction items, if you donate 100 grand, you get all the auction items and I can go home. And everybody laughs. And it's been like 2 years at the Waukesha Gun Club, an event for the Mac Fund. I did that. And some little guy in the corner raised his hand. And the guy who's running the event is next to me. And I go, what do I do now? And he goes, what do you mean, what do I do now? You're the one who said it. What do you do? I go, well, it's a joke. No one's ever done it. So the guy donated the 100 grand. He let us auction off the items. And so now when I start an auction, I always start at 200 grand. We haven't had a taker yet, but
at some point.
How shocked were you when this actually happened?
There needs to be a bigger word than shock. All I know is like, what? Hell, I don't know what to do. No, that's why I asked the guy. He goes, "You're the one who said it. You figure out what to do." Okay. Do you want all the items? Nah. Go ahead, auction them off.
So, wow. So it actually worked out better.
Yes, and I apologize. I don't remember his name. I just remember he was short. Speaking of short, the shortest person I have ever met in terms of, I couldn't believe how short he was Lee Trevino. At the AmFam thing, and we were doing it, he was there, and I'm right next to him, and I really wanted to say, "Are you taller than a fire hydrant?" But I thought that would be rude, given he's...
That would have been funny.
I can't describe how short he is. I don't know how you can't see
stout.
It, I guess, on TV.
Lee Trevino's stout, though, too.
Yes, he is. Oh, the Don Haskins, the coach of Texas El Paso, the famous coach that won with the team in the movie. What's the movie?
Glory Road.
Glory Road. So I got to interview him because of Rick Majerus. And when the movie came out, and I said, "Sorry, Coach, I'm not asking about the movie." He said, "Well, what are you having me on for?" I said, "Because I want you to tell me stories about Lee Trevino." Lee Trevino worked at the El Paso Country Club at the time. He says, "Oh, yeah, I know Lee. What do you want?" I go, "Well, whatever you got." He goes, "He's the only golfer ever in the history of the Pro Tour who would beat you on the course and then beat you up in the bar afterwards." I go, "That Lee Trevino?" He goes, "Do you know anything about him?" I said, "I thought I did." "No, he went out of high school. He enrolled in the Marines. He was a Marine for X number of years." And he said, "You don't ever want to fight Lee Trevino." So, wow, didn't know that.
So calling him a fire hydrant probably would have been ill-advised, it sounds like.
The only reason I didn't ask him was the Don Haskins story. Then he might just come over and just beat
clock you. Yeah.
Yeah.
But wouldn't that be a great story for you to get your tail kicked by an elderly Lee Trevino? How good would that have been?
I guess. I don't want to test him. If he called today and wanted to do one of those MMA, I would not take on Lee Trevino until he's 100.
Lee Trevino, 84 years young right now.
Yeah.
His Wikipedia page does not say how tall he is, however, so I don't have that information.
5'2". All those golfers are short. Arnold Palmer's short. People would be shocked at how short Jack Nicklaus is. They're all way under 6 feet tall.
All right, we've covered a lot of ground. I did want to we spent some time when I was on with you on Monday, and we just talked with Brian Bulaga, your sidekick on Mondays. Or actually, he kind of leads the show. You're more the sidekick then on Mondays. You just sort of turn the show.
He's now back on Thursdays. He'll be on tomorrow too.
Twice a week.
Basketball session, yeah.
All right, getting ready for the season. But we talked about how you and he and I discussed the Anders Carlson situation, and I asked the question, other than Jordan Love, who is the player the Packers can least afford to have play poorly this season? When I ask you that, what's your answer?
I should remember his name. He's a big money free agent, the kid from the Giants. What's his name again?
Xavier McKinney.
X.
Yeah, it's not even close. Nothing's even close. He has to play well. You do something you've never been defending for a long time. You pay huge money to get an expensive free agent. He damn well better be good. Not just okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have any doubt that he'll be
I know, but that good. Doesn't change that he's still – it's not even close. If there was no money involved, it would be Jair Alexander – because my source, Terrell Buckley, says the only thing that's been wrong, he's been hurt. Now he's healthy again, and he should totally kick butt. So it would normally be Jair, because he needs to be an elite first or second team All-Pro. But with all the money you gave the kid,
I'm glad you brought up your conversation with Terrell Buckley, because as Tausch pointed out earlier, that's T-Buck's guy. He coached him.
Yeah.
He loves him.
He admits it. Yeah, no, he didn't deny that.
So I know he did. So he not only had the injury that had prevented him from tackling and being as physical, but does T-Buck really think that he wasn't, like, a malcontent last year?
Excellent point. He was extremely supportive. T-Buck's just not who T-Buck is. You'd think he'd be like, hey. No, he supported LaFleur and gives him a ton of credit for handling it exactly the way he did. You know, he was, you know, you can listen to it with Wisconsin On Demand. Jair screwed up big time and was handled appropriately, he feels, by LaFleur. So, but now it's, I said, why wasn't he good? He said, he wasn't healthy. Now he's healthy, so he better be damn good. But, yeah, he didn't defend him at all. He said he just messed up. He liked the way that LaFleur handled it.
Hmm. All right, Homer, which NBA draft, I believe, is NBA draft tonight. Brooke Lopez, there's been some lot of rumors about Brooke potentially getting traded.
I think he'll be back. I don't believe any of them.
It's going to just run it back and hope? That's what you're thinking?
Well, they could have run it back last year. It could be an exactly opposite approach. And then the same thing happened. And, yeah, they're going to run it back. I don't know the dynamics. A lot of this has to do with the luxury tax and how expensive it is. Given the luxury tax that they're going to have to pay, I think if Edens, who's in charge, if he could do what he wanted, he would sell the team.
Well, he could sell the team. Old boy Lazary sold his portion. Somebody would buy Edens' portion of the team.
I don't think he wants to sell his portion. I think he wants to.
Well, you just said he wants to sell the team.
Well, but he can't sell the whole team by himself. I don't think he has the ability to make that decision on his own.
No, he could sell his. He could sell his chunk and make the same big return that Lazary did.
He could. I think his premise is that it doesn't make any sense. The teams are worth so much, and to pay this luxury tax and what they've changed. But that's why I think they keep everybody. I have to do a better study of it, but I think the top four guys will all be back, and they'll give it a run with Doc. I believe they've also hired their next coach for when Doc finishes after this year, probably, or maybe 2 years.
And Darvin Ham bringing him back after his experience with the Lakers.
Yep.
All right, Homer, we'll let you get ready for God Talk. You can run back and up and down the stairs and then catch your breath
recording. I'm okay now. Yeah, show some respect for old.
I no doubt about it, and we appreciate your effort to get to the phone so we can talk to you. I will talk to you later. Thanks.
About Tyler Kolek, whether he's going to be drafted tonight.
Is Tyler Kolek going to be drafted tonight?
Yeah, because just first round. Oso will not. But any team that takes Oso will talk about what a great decision it was. And I would say midway through his rookie year.
So Kolek goes tonight, though, in the first round.
Yes, definitely, 1,000%. I will put my reputation, whatever's left, on the line.
That's not much.
Oh, that's fine. That's okay. Whatever it is.
All right, Homer, thanks.
Bye.
That is Steve the Homer True. I'm really curious to see where Tyler Kolek goes. And you're hearing, these are rumors that you're hearing, Tausch, being our NBA insider, that Brooke Lopez may be on the block.
There's teams that are super interested. You hear Doc Rivers not really wanting to do the drop defense. That is what Brooke Lopez is super good at.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the math adds up, and I think he wants to change some of the pieces around Giannis and Dame.
Mm.
And everybody said, well, trade Connaughton for so-and-so. Well, yeah, okay. Good luck. You have to put some pieces in that people are, like, clamoring for. You know, or get it just like, well, you should have traded Drew Holiday to get Dalla Dame. Well, okay. Great point. That's not how the world works. So Brooke Lopez, I think, still has a ton of value to a lot of teams, and there's a lot of interest there. I'll be curious. I don't know what the Bucks are going to do, but I'm guessing if they're going to make an overhaul or change things up, Brooke Lopez will be a piece to whatever they end up doing.
Well, I sources close to Wilde and Tausch indicated that there were trade talks from Johnson & Sons Paving after your debut on their team, and we turned them down. They've got some great talent over there, but we wanted to keep our franchise player and have him just do a little side work with Johnson & Sons Paving.
Well, summer is here, and before you know it, you're going to be prepping for winter. Johnson & Sons Paving wants to make sure you're ready by remembering the 3 hours of parking lot and asphalt maintenance. Reseal every 2 to 3 years. Repair when you see signs of cracking or potholes. And replace if there's constant standing water, warping, buckling, or sinking. Don't scare your customers or your tenants with a bad parking lot. Go down to Muskego and check out that great parking lot I wasn't able to get to because our tournament got canceled. But connect with Johnson & Sons today to fix those minor repairs before they become huge headaches. Visit JohnsonAndSonsPaving.com right now to schedule an appointment.
More of Tausch's insights into the trade market as the NFL or as the NBA draft arrives tonight. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
We're on Wisconsin sports like never before.
Sharing the love that all of us have for volleyball with everyone else is one of my favorite things.
The new home for Wisconsin Badgers volleyball, 100.5 ESPN.
Oh, baby, go, go, go!
Tausch, I assume you knew all this before being the NBA expert that you are.
Okay.
But there are, in addition to paying luxury tax, if the Bucks end up in the second apron, which is where they're projected to be if they keep Brooke Lopez,
yeah.
There are a bunch of restrictions that I was reading about during the break that make it hard to do stuff. So you have no access to the taxpayer mid-level exception. So you can't sign a player for more than the minimum if you're looking to add to the roster. You can't sign any of the players that take buyouts. You're out of that market as well. You can't aggregate salaries in trades. So you can't take two $20 million players and trade them to a team to get a $40 million player back.
Okay, that's interesting.
You can't give away cash in trades. You can't sign and trade your own players in exchange for other players. So you can't do sign and trade deals if you're in the...
So just wait a second. So this is all if they're in the second apron.
Correct.
After... So... Brooke Lopez is going to get traded.
I think your insights are going to prove on the nose because they need to shed salary.
There's no doubt that I think they want to say thank you, Pat Connaughton, for your service. You've been great in the community, but I think that's going to be one. Bobby Portis will be the one I'm not sure about. If they get rid of Brooke and trade him for draft picks or... I think that'll be tough. That you know, with Giannis and Dame, it's really difficult to just bring some young players in and think they're going to help you win a championship. Maybe that's the road John Horst is going to go down. But it's going to be if that all of those things are in play. I don't think the Bucks want to limit themselves by being in that position. That is, those are some critical things that you want to have at your disposal to build. As injuries happen and other things. And I do think there's I don't know how long you're going to continue in that luxury tax world when you're getting knocked out in the first round. All of those things. Plus, you're getting old. And the NBA, while LeBron is 40 and he's still playing at a high level, it's still going to be a younger person's game. I don't care how many advancements they've made in different things. You can't make it with a ton of 37, 38-year-old dudes that athletically just aren't up to par with what some of these other teams are doing.
This Yahoo Sports story that I was reading, league personnel told Yahoo Sports the Bucks are open to reshaping their roster and are gauging the trade value for Lopez. Houston cautioned Lopez that re-signing with Milwaukee could very well lead him to eventually being traded when the Rockets pursued Lopez in free agency a year ago. So one of the Rockets' selling points was to not re-sign with the Bucks because he was probably going to get traded if he did.
Well, the Rockets are making a big push to get Kevin Durant. And if they do that, I think Brooke Lopez will be another match with them. They're trading pieces, that whole big thing with the
draft
Nets
picks
last night. Watch what Houston does. Windy put up the old today. When he does that, typically things come to fruition. So don't be shocked if Kevin Durant's a Houston Rocket by the end of the day.
All right, we'll shift gears back to Packers and football during the 11 o'clock hour. I want to remind you, I tell you this all the time. I don't tell you when I'm gone because I've been gone for a week. But when I'm here, I've always told you, I hope you never have to make that one call. That's all. Hope you never have to make it because that means you've never been injured or someone you love has never been injured in a serious accident. But if you have to make that call, make it to Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Or go to the website, gruber-law.com, to find out more. The 11 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.